Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You know, Mike, we've been dealing with this COVID-19 for a while now.
It's been a minute.
We've been dealing with it for a while now.
And I may have heard of that thing a while ago.
There's certain times that I think, you know, we should be further along with certain things. I mean, I think that's your that's
hover cars.
Yeah. Well, yes, living underwater, time travel,
returning dinosaurs
yes.
to the earth,
being able to fly.
All of those things.
All of these things. But you know, obviously, you know, with COVID-19, us dealing with this every day, you would think that by now, it would be much easier to buy hand sanitizer that doesn't smell like the cheapest vodka you've ever had in your life that takes you back to one night in college where you go, oh my God, I can still smell the bar. I was sick for 3 days. I mean, why does so much hand sanitizer have to smell like the worst vodka you've ever had?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously, that's now a movie we will be writing called One Night in College. patent pending. As for the smell, I unfortunately have been mostly without my smell sense for a good year now. I get a little bit here and there. I got sick about a year ago, and unfortunately, I get a couple hours where I can smell everything, and it's at a hypersensitivity. And I hate the world at that moment.
Okay.
But otherwise, you know, I've got my sense of taste and everything else. But yeah, I can't smell the cheap liquor aspect that you're talking about. But I do know that everybody's getting a good markup because even those little bottles are running about $3.50. Kind of like you're buying a mini bottle of vodka at a liquor store.
It's I don't understand why. And I feel like this is something that's somewhat new because I remember the first few months of you know, using hand sanitizer as much, there wasn't as much of it. Like you use regular hand sanitizer and it was okay. And some hand sanitizer smells like cherry blossom, some smells medicine-y, but okay. But now I feel like, you know, you go to certain places and or you whatever you buy in the store that's right there because you see it, you grab like three or four things of it, and it just smells like really cheap alcohol.
And well, I wonder, I mean, you can go
is this anything
soap and
but
candle place.
Did someone just take a bottle of vodka and just pour it in and go, yep, there you go, okay, right there, and pour it in, yep, there you go. And we're going to disperse out this bottle of vodka in $4 increments.
It's not a bad solution when you really think about it, but because then it has multiple purposes. If the weight of the world is a little much, hey, I'm not seeing anybody. I don't need that hand sanitizer. All right. Mini cocktail for one. But the idea...
I think back when I was younger, when I used to drink anything at a bar, oh, there's a special on it, give it to me. Y'all, this vodka is awful. Ah, it's just going to burn my tongue. And that's what it smells like.
I've always been bougie that way. I don't drink a lot, so when I do, I go quality. But I think part of it is also you try to ramp up production on the level here. What happens when people need to fulfill orders quickly?
Yeah.
They scale down in quality.
Oh, yeah.
So here you could still claim it's whatever percent killing off germs and slap the label on it and away you go. And I see the bins all over the place of the mini bottles, right? The ones that you put in your pocket as you're out and about or leave in your center console of your car. And that's running about $4 a pop, whereas I think if we went back in the time machine to December, you probably used to be able to buy those for, what, half? A third of what they cost now. But trying to keep up with demand, you know, you're going to sacrifice a little bit or in some cases a lot in quality. And I'm sorry it's so detrimental to your olfactory system. That's the problem.
It brings you back to that time in your life. Like I remember one time when I had a Pabst Blue Ribbon about 5 or 6 years ago. I'm like, oh, my God, it's 1988 again. Oh, wow. I can't believe it. Don't you wish it
was 1988 again?
Oh, yeah. Well, hey.
Where Bobby Bonilla was roaming.
No, we didn't have Bobby Bonilla then. No, that's when we blew that series to the Dodgers.
Oh, no. He was still in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I'm thinking about the trading card.
David Cohn flapped his gums and Davey Johnson left Dwight Gooden in to pitch to Mike Socha. Yeah, no, 88 was what? 88 was bad. 88 was bad.
Dodger fans are hoping they can recreate 1988 here in short order.
Yeah, well, it's been a minute since they won. But outside of baseball, There are two people who obviously listened to the show last night. Mike is back now after taking a couple of days off, gone on a rafting trip, hanging out shirtless on Urban Meyer's boat.
You got to make it nice for the people.
No, I look, hey,
advices.
You get some time off. You go do you, man. That's what you have to do. You go do you. That's how it works.
You know, I'm such a powerful and attractive individual. The camera and the microphone will find me no matter where I go.
Guy's got purple shorts on. That's got to be Harmon. The first person listening to the show is Ohio State head football coach Ryan Day. It was last night on the show when a tough night. We were talking about college football potentially not having a season in the fall as the Big Ten and the Pac-12 postpone their seasons to the spring. And one of the questions we talked about was, look, people on all wondering, how are they going to pull this off? You can't play in the spring. You're going to play a full season, and then you're going to play in the fall a few months later. It's not going to work. Well, hang on a second. Spring is a very loose interpretation. Spring doesn't mean they're going to play at the end of March and go all the way to June.
Well, no. But that's it. But when you go to the definitional, when does spring start?
Yeah.
Well, the end of March.
Yeah, but spring is going to wind up being just after the new year, and they're going to play sometime from January. They're going to play maybe 8 or 9 games is what you play. No one says you have to play a full slate. You have to play 12 games. Look, they want to play 10 games in the fall. Maybe they try to play 10 games, but you start shortly after the new year and you play in the spring, you can have a full season. You can have a split national champion. You have the national champion in the fall. You have the national champion in the spring. You can have both those things, and it will be a college football season that will never fret, because it's going to stretch from September all the way until April. It's going to be amazing, because as we said at the top of the show, now with Dabo Swinney today basically stoking the fires of the fall season's the real national champion and the spring season isn't, if they play in the fall, there is no way they don't play in the spring. They will play. We will get, if college football is played in September, we will get college football in January. There's no way they can play in the fall and then those teams and those schools not play in the spring. Even if they don't want to, and some presidents of schools, they don't want to, they will have to play. They will have play, or they will ruin college football. They will ruin these schools. The players are going to want to transfer. Trust me. If we get it, if they were able to pull it off in the fall, we're going to get it in the spring. We're going to get that kind of season. And what kind of season will we get? Like I said, in the spring, it could start right after the first of the year, 8 or 9 games, then have the playoffs. We said it last night, and today, that's exactly what Ohio State head coach Ryan Day had to say. Let's hear from
him. I think that starting, you know, the first week of January would be the best way to go. An 8-week season, and that way there is some separation between that season and the next season. You know, allow some of the mid-year guys to come in and possibly, you know, play a 2-for-1. You know, they get 2 seasons in 1 calendar year, which, you know, the recruits, I think, would be really excited about.
There you go, Mike. Apparently, he listened to the show and said, yep, I'm going to go in and say that the next day, because that's exactly what we said last night.
Well, it's a good sell. They'd be really excited about it. I don't know how excited they'd be. Physically, I think you're asking for trouble there. For the short term, I think most of your higher level players that are coming back that are draft eligible, and this is one where I think all bets are off. Any of the rules can be suspended for a year, much like we've done in Major League Baseball by changing up, hey, 7-inning doubleheaders, here's the DH full-time, you're welcome, Rockies. All of this coming into play that for the NFL, college football, all of this you could look at going, all right, transfers, you want to go because you want to play in the fall where they're playing, have at it. Find someone that'll have you. If you want to leave early, again, you're 18+. That whole argument I've been making for 20 years, have at it. You know, start getting ready for the combine and roll. But you get to the spring, and if it's legitimately starting in January, you're going to have players ready to go. Part of me is still the, all right, if we're going to kick the can down the road, what's better in January? Because you had 5 months here that you thought it was going to be better. So if you're thinking you see the light at the end of the tunnel, you had plenty of time to plan for this now in terms of your safety protocols. Where you didn't have, I guess, closure would have been from the liability standpoint. And I'm sure you and Steve hammered that last night. You can find the podcast up at Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, FoxSportsRadio.com, wherever you get your audio. Rip it down. Give it 5 stars. We'll love you forever. There's no question about it. I just think a lot of the top guys are going to say, you know what, I'm going to the draft if we're getting into the spring, and just say, all right, I'm hiring my trainer. I'm getting ready for pro days and everything else. You've got tape on me, right? If you're going draft, you've already got at least a full year in most cases of guys that would be taking this option of saying, all right, here's my film already. I'm done. I'm going to go get my combine numbers and get rolling, because there's no way I can go through even an abbreviated NCAA season and then try to come right back in and be a contributor in the fall. There's no redshirt seasons in the National Football League, so I don't know that all the top talent would still be on board for playing in the spring, but you know what? The jerseys are still going to be sold, and the fans are still going to have their novelty hats and their face paint on and be ready for whomever the next man up is. And I think that's the ultimate angle for sports in 2020, next man up.
That's going to happen. Some players are going to say no, but it'll be like players going to a bowl game. It's not going to be everybody. It'll be some stars. But if Justin Fields decides I'm not going to play, okay, somebody else is going to play quarterback for Ohio State, and they're still going to be really good, and we're still going to watch. It's going to happen that way. The other person who obviously listened to the show last night was NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Because after Giannis decided to headbutt Mo Wagner, very upset, a previous trip down the floor, he was called for a charge. A trip before that, Wagner kind of gave him a kind of a cheap shot from behind under the basket. Giannis decides to headbutt Mo Wagner. Now, normally you headbutt somebody, that's a multiple game suspension. That's a big deal. Yeah, no way. Last night we said it was going to be one game, because there's no way Adam Silver is going to get involved in this controversy and suspend him for the first game of the playoffs. They have one game left Thursday night, and they were going to suspend him for that game, and he was going to be free to play when they start their first round series against Orlando. Adam Silver is never going to do anything to make the players mad at him, and he's just walking around today going, thank goodness he did it today and not Thursday. Then I would have had to suspend him for the first game, and then, oh my goodness, players are not going to like me. We said that was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened today. Adam Silver suspends Giannis for one game. He's going to sit tomorrow for the headbutt. He was very apologetic after. I'm sure that helped his cause as well, and there was a pre-existing play that caused that to happen. It wasn't something that came out of nowhere. All of that into account, it was going to be a one-game suspension. Giannis will play in the playoffs. The last thing they want is to get the Bucks off on a bad foot. They get upset in the first round, and suddenly, oh, Giannis might not make it out of the Eastern Conference. Oh, this is going to suck for us trying to sell a big superstar in the East. Oh, like, this is going to be really, really difficult. Can we take all those posters with Giannis on them and put Fred VanVleet's picture on it? You think that's going to work for us? So exactly what we said was going to happen happened today.
I think it's pretty weak when it's all said and done. You've had a guy who's been a hothead a couple of times during this bubble situation. Someone needs to give him a hug. He needs to get his family in there pretty fast. But it was an egregious move, right? I mean, watch that replay repeatedly. It's like, what are we doing? You're not Zidane. You're not one of these guys on the soccer pitch. We were watching a little bit of a match yesterday where guys were forearm shivering guys left and right, and everybody kind of chuckled. You know, you still have to pretend. You got to do some more than take your notes from Rob Manfred as to how you punish people. I mean, there's still something to this that should have been more than a game. But I understand, protect the product, protect the MVP. He just looked like a dope in it. No matter how apologetic he was, he's had a couple of these run-ins, and he needs to grow up, because guys are going to keep bumping him and trying to push him over, because he's shown that you can get under his skin pretty easy. So if I'm the Magic, come the playoff series, poke the bear repeatedly. You know, I'm running out the guys from the back of the bench, seeing if you can get him to come back on you again. And then we'll see what kind of guts Adam Silver has then.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. We told you it was going to happen. There's no way Adam Silver is going to upset the players. It was going to be one game, and there it is. one game. Indeed knows you've still got big goals for your business, so you need to hire people who make a real impact. Indeed can help you find high-impact hires faster without any long-term contracts and with more efficient use of your budget thanks to their super flexible payment options. Indeed is giving you a free $75 credit for your first sponsored job post so you can get in front of more quality candidates fast. How cool is that? Get ready to hit your hiring goals at Indeed.com/high-impact. That's Indeed.com/high-impact. Terms and conditions apply. Coming up next, boy, out of the NFL, a crazy story from today, and I'm going to give you a great conspiracy theory on it. Here's the best part. You're going to agree with me on it after it's over.
Whoa.
Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Geico Studios. NBA game of the night. Clippers and Denver right now. 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Clippers lead it 111 to 103. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard have combined for 49. Lou Williams with 20 off the bench. 20 wings off the bench. And for the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic has 17, 13 assists, 7 rebounds, closing in on what could be a triple-double. Meanwhile, Jeremy Grant off the bench, 25 points in 26 minutes. It's taken a while for him to really carve out his role after leaving Syracuse way too early. But still, here is Jeremy Grant, finally getting it done. Nuggets again. They trail by 10 now. 113-103. About 3.5 minutes to go.
Just felt like you needed to get that in.
The
Syracuse dig on him.
I'm just getting it in when I can get it in. I didn't say anything that wasn't factual. I gave you a lot of facts.
Pull out your rapier and give him a little jab. Did you?
Speaking of facts, don't forget, when you get a chance, download, listen to our new special teams podcast. Every week, Mike and I look back at a specific year in sports, some special teams that did some big things that year. And this week, we look back at the 1996 AFC Championship game for the 95 season, the Colts and the Steelers, one of the greatest AFC title games you have seen, one of the greatest conference title games we have seen of the past 30 years. It might be the best. It was filled with unbelievable and surprising heroes like Willie Williams and Ernie Mills. There was refereeing controversy. It's the almost Hail Mary that Jim Harbaugh nearly moved into legendary status in the NFL had he completed that pass at the end of the game. We also spotlight Cordell Stewart, Harbaugh's career as a quarterback, and drama for the Colts that happened following that game. So special teams, we look back at the 96 AFC title game between the Steelers and the Colts. It's available on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app. Basically, wherever you listen to podcasts, it's there for you. Really love this one that we did. Hopefully you will as well. And if you listen, hey, stop by, rate us, give us 5 stars. That tells us you love it. If you hate it, give us 5 stars anyway. We won't tell anybody. At least I won't. Mike might, but I won't.
Oh, I will, because I'll take to Twitter, Periscope, IG Live, whatever I need to do to get my point across.
Now, before we get to a big conspiracy theory that I'm going to convince you, you're going to say, oh, you're crazy. And go, oh, no, wait, you're right. The number one trending topic on Twitter right now, if you're looking at United States trends, is Clowney. No, Jadeveon Clowney is not signed with a team. The Cowboys signed Everson Griffin. 1 year, $6 million contract he's going to get. Look, the guy's been terrific for a decade. It's a big move for the Dallas Cowboys. Kind of unexpected because nobody saw this happening, but here it is today. While Jerry Jones is making news about the anthem and fans and all that stuff, the Cowboys make this move. So, of course, it's jumping from Everson Griffin to what is going on with Jadeveon Clowney. How is he not on a team? And at this point, when you are in the middle of August and teams are going to camp and ready to take their they're taking their tests, getting ready, and right now we saw the NFL gave out the results today. Under 1% of the players tested positive for COVID-19, which is awesome. 0.46% of the players well below the threshold set this summer for avoiding outbreaks. That's what the NFL is dealing with right now. It's an awesome story. But teams are getting ready to go play now, and it's going to be workouts for a while. And so there's still time. Don't get me wrong. There's still time because it's going to be conditioning for a bit. They're not in pads yet, and then there's going to be ramping up to it. There's not going to be a lot of physicality before the season starts. But if Jadeveon Clowney is still out right now, it's really one of two things, Mike. It's either he's so tremendously, grossly overvalued what he was going to get and was sticking with it the entire time, which has been the general consensus till now. Well, he wants too much money. He doesn't see what the marketplace is for him. But the other part of it, and this is what I'm starting to think of right now, is I don't know that he really wants to play. Because even though you say, oh, you've grossly overstated the market for you, well, that's a conversation his agent has had with him. I mean, look, anybody that's had an agent, you've had an agent, I have an agent, the first thing my agent will tell me when I'm talking about some kind of negotiation with someone, whether it's, you know, Fox Now or ESPN like it was or NFL Network, my agent tells you right away, okay, here's what they're going to do, and here's what we can kind of get, and I'm going to ask for this, but I'm expecting this, but I want this. Well, you're not going to get it. They're not going to give that to you. I mean, that's a conversation that you've had. And when you, after you have tried to sell Jadeveon Clowney to all 32 teams in the NFL, including the Seahawks, and they've all said, that's too much money, you know you have to come down. And yeah, part of it could be, we're going to wait, and hopefully all we need is to get one team to come in and do it. But at this point, you don't want to be out. You don't want to be one of the unsigned players. And here's Griffin for $6 million. All right? Clowney, as good as he is not a next-level player. So if he's not in right now, a part of me is wondering, does he even want to play? Is it COVID-19? Is it something else? Did he blow it so early that now he's going to wait and he's going to sit out? Because at this point, if you're not in, that's not a good sign. And you're not going to get any money to sign right now. Because anybody that brings you in is going to bring you in for a year, if they do. Potentially, they could be interested in you as you get back to practice. It looks like the season's going to be a go-ahead and we're going to play. But it looks like season's going to go ahead and play right now. So for the longest time, it was, boy, Clowney's really overestimating his value. And now I'm thinking, does he want to play? Is he really into playing this year? Because that's where I am now, because the story has kind of evolved.
Yeah, I think part of it is, you know, where you're at, cap availability. You know, as you flow through, how many teams still have anywhere near what he was asking for? I mean, you saw the deal that Cam Newton ended up signing. A different situation, but at the same point, you know, you're trying to find some value. Here's a guy that can be an impact player. And if Seattle didn't come knocking on the door and commit the dollars he was looking for, how many other teams are out there that have that level of financial wherewithal at this point? I mean, you got Dallas making this move here with Griffin, but that's $6 million. From what we'd been hearing, Clowney was still looking for, what, 1.5 to 2 times that? Or at least that was the expectation of what he was looking at on the marketplace. At this moment, you'd be looking at a minimum deal with a bunch of incentives would be the more likely scenario. And who knows how many teams are now pinching pennies going ahead, going, well, if we're not going to have fans in the stands, right? Thinking about from a cash flow perspective, that maybe becomes a little bit more of a difficult proposition. I know people are saying, but they're worth $3 billion. Like, they don't have $3 billion. And maybe they don't want to go and apply for the lines of credit. We know the cap will shrink here in the next year or two as well, that smoothing out process. But to your point about not wanting to play, this is the year if you've got a million reasons that COVID could be a cover for, maybe the market isn't as hot, or on the other side, you know, you're leveraging that, saying, well, I could just as easily sit out. Look what I've made in my career. Look where I'm at. I'm comfortable. So if you really want me on your roster, that, you know, you've got to pony up the extra cash. It's an interesting bargaining chip cutting either way. But yeah, I'm with you. If he really wanted to be on a roster, I think this would be signed, sealed, delivered, and he'd be back hanging out with Pete Carroll.
Yeah, or somebody else. Or, okay, you don't want me, but this team's going to give me close to what I want, and that's where I'm going to be, even if it's for 1 year. Because if he was thinking, I want $18 million, and the beginning teams were offering him $15 million, which is what we heard was the range going on, that a couple of teams, the Jets were kicking the tires a bit, and they were getting up towards $13,
yeah,
14, 12, 15 12 million.
To 15 kind of
yeah,
range.
And
yeah.
He was like, no, I want $18 million. All right. Well, you just saw it. Everson Griffin got $6 million. You're not even going to be close to that. So, I mean, I outside of he's comfortable not playing because he's not going to get what he wants, I mean, that's kind of where this conversation has to go now, because why else is he still out there? It wouldn't be.
Well, generally speaking, it's not the marketplace to try to pull a strong arm move.
Right. This is right? not the year to do it.
Especially if you're a guy that's not – you're not the difference maker that you were 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? You're still a good player, but are you that level player? No. I mean, what do you mean – what do you mean to the wins-loss column? What are we adding, a +5? +0.5?
Yeah.
Plus can, 0.5, I mean.
You can
is
no
he
longer,
half a win guy? Is he a win guy?
It's not even a half a win guy. You can't go
but,
in
– but I'm just saying, like, yeah. if we're going to try to ascribe a value to uh-huh. his presence
– oh, sure.
What is it?
Sure.
Right? If he's not moving the needle that much and it's a handful of plays that we're looking for, that's not worth, you know, disrupting the cap, because this is also going to be a year where you have to manage your money judiciously because of guys who might test positive.
Yeah.
Right? You might suddenly be without a couple of guys to where you have to have financial flexibility. And I'm sure they'll insert some rules here and there to help with roster flexibility. But the reality is, if you dump a bunch of money in his lap, maybe you cut yourself short for what's going to be a very wild year.
You can no longer walk into an NFL GM's office and say, do you want to see this tape of my hit in the Outback Bowl? Look at this. You're going to give me $18 million.
Oh, look at you. You went all the way back to that.
Remember?
Wow.
Hey, listen, I got Vincent Smith on speed dial right now. He's still feeling that hit when I hit him. I mean, that's you can't do that anymore.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. And now I'm going to give you a conspiracy theory. We kind of gotten into this a little bit. But now that more and more time has gone on, you're going to understand just where things are at as far as the New England Patriots and Cam Newton. Two things happened with Cam Newton today. Number one, he put out a really weird post on Instagram.
Didn't like the font.
The font was really bad. I got to admit, if you're going to put something on Instagram, you got to make the font where I can understand what it is. And it was all with, he used the umlauts and the O's with the line through it and the N's with it. And it was, it's really hard. I mean, I get that that's a font that some people like, but boy, I just can't stand it. But he put up some song quotes on there, including a song by George Strait.
The legend.
Here for a Good Time, which is the George Strait song. And part of the quote that he put on there is a picture of him in the Patriots uniforms. It was picture day. And he says, he puts the quote from George Strait's song, I ain't here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. Same day that the Patriots gave their quarterback drills. Guess who got the third reps? Not the first reps, not the second reps, third reps. It was Cam Newton. So both of these stories sit here today. Here's Cam implying, I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. Maybe he's realizing his time with the Patriots isn't going to be that long. And here's Belichick saying, you're going to earn it. Even though I signed you, you're coming in. You're going to earn it. They're
Can
not
I give you the
him.
First verse of the lyrics before
sure.
that refrain? So this is George Strait. I'm not going to lay around and whine and moan because somebody done me wrong. Don't think for a minute that I'm going to sit around and sing some old sad song. I believe it's half full, not a half empty glass. Every day I wake up knowing it could be my last. I ain't here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
Cause all my exes live in Texas.
Same guy, different field, different vibe.
Yeah, I wish he would have put that in
there. This was off the Return of the Kang.
Oh, yeah, I wish he would have given me some All My Exes Live In. That's one of my favorite country songs of all time. I love that song.
Tell you what, when he starts touring again, got to go see George Strait.
Oh,
that's a fun time, let me tell you.
Eileen's in Abilene, Rosanna's in Texarkana. Allison's in Galveston. Oh, sure.
You know,
sure.
He's had, you know, innumerable number one hits since. Yeah. Just kind of throwing it out there.
Dimples, who lives in Temples. Oh, yeah, all my ex. That's why I live in Tennessee. That's such a great song.
Or I sometimes visit Atlanta.
That's
the updated 2020 version.
By transcendental medication, he goes there. So just for a second, listen to what I'm saying. And before you want to say, I don't know. The Patriots clearly are not playing for this season. We saw after Tom Brady left, they did not replace him. They did not replace any of their weapons that they lost. They let a lot of good players leave. Most of them went to the Miami Dolphins. Their first draft pick post-Tom Brady was a project, was a D2 kid who was a defensive back. That was their first pick. All right, so all of a sudden this, hey, we're ready to move on right after Tom Brady, this goes out the window. Why are you doing this if you're not putting this season up for grabs and trying to tank to get Trevor Lawrence or a great quarterback early on in the draft next year. Because you know Belichick's not going to trade draft stock to go get good players. That's not his way. He gets draft picks. He doesn't move up by taking draft picks and saying, this is what we're going to do. Belichick and the Patriots know they need a franchise quarterback to win. Jared Stidham is not the guy. If he was the guy, they wouldn't have signed Cam Newton. But they signed Cam Newton, but they didn't give Cam Newton any money. Cam Newton could be a Pro Bowl quarterback as easily as he is waived by week one. Cam hasn't been really good in 5 years. We don't even know that he's healthy. Signing Cam Newton is the cover for tanking. Right? How do we make it look like we're not tanking? Well, we're going to go sign Cam Newton. Makes it look like we're trying. Meanwhile, is Cam going to get enough reps? Is he really going to be the starting quarterback? Is he good enough? Can he even make it to week one on the roster? Is he even good anymore? It doesn't matter. If Cam Newton stinks, that works as well for the Patriots as they try to have a, hey, it was a bad season, now we're going to go forward. Belichick's thinking, I'm going to coach till I'm 80, so I got nothing but time. Hey, Tom Brady's got a year or two at most, and no matter what, the Buccaneers are going to be better than us this year because the Bucs are loaded on offense. Bruce Arians is a good offensive coach. They got a lot of weapons. Hey, they're going to be good. So the best way to do it is to not compete with them, to not go all in year one and let's go get that next franchise quarterback and I'll show you, hey, I can win with somebody else. These are the breadcrumbs. This is the bit of evidence that we're seeing. Just like I told you, the evidence was there that Brady was going to leave all the way back to October, and he wound up leaving. This is the cover for the Patriots, because if they don't go get anybody, the tanking whispers get louder and louder and louder and louder. But let's go sign Cam Newton. On the same day we wind up getting busted for illegally taping another team's plays, we're going to make that signing that day. This is the cover for tanking. You can't say we're tanking. We just signed Cam Newton. This is the cover. Whether he even makes to the season, however he plays, doesn't matter. This is the evidence that they can at least say have plausible deniability for, in that we're not trying to tank. We signed Cam. The guy's a former MVP.
Yeah, I never thought he was going to win the job anyway. So he's just window dressing. And he was addressing, folks were mad at him in the picture because he wasn't smiling. He's like, no, I'm here to do work. It's the long term and everything else. In other words, he's been told, you're just a guy. Welcome to New England. You're just a guy as it rolls through. Look, the rest of the division, you know, you've got your Jets. And look, today, Le'Veon Bell saying all the right things about Adam Gase. Did you ever think you'd see the day? You have the Dolphins on the rebuild model. I like what they're allowing the coaching staff to do there, actually build a program, and eventually we see Tua once Ryan Fitzpatrick cedes the job to him. So that's fun. And then Buffalo is the favorite in the division. So it all lines up to say, all right, we'll come at it, and if we can pull it off with this roster, great. But we're not going to overpay for suspect prospects or for veterans that don't fit the way we do business. So plan the work the plan. It seemed like this was just another offseason for the most part for the Patriots. We changed out some of the headliner names, right? Because they aged out. The one thing the Patriots will do to you. What, you don't want to be with the system and you want more money? And you want us to bend what we do? Nope. I put my hood up and I'm walking away with you. I can't have this anymore. You know, it's the scene in Goodfellas. Like, he gave me, what was it, $3,400 for a lifetime. That's kind of what Tom Brady and company got. I got to turn my back on you. So here we are in the new world order of the New England Patriots. I like it. You use breadcrumbs, like you're building yourself a nice dish over there, and you're in the kitchen. And I wouldn't be surprised to see this team come in at 6-10. I also wouldn't be shocked if they won the division at 9-7 in a cannibalistic kind of way, because the defense is still strong.
I'd quit if that. I'd quit. I'd disappear.
I'm just telling you, don't be surprised if it happens.
I would quit. I'd be done.
Josh Allen, as much as I love him, is still going to make mistakes.
I'm done.
The Dolphins are on the rise, but they don't have the quarterback, I don't think, to get you over just yet. And we still don't know whether Tua's got swag in the way he was walking or whether his hip was bothering him. You tell me what that was, the video of him walking into the campus a couple weeks ago. All of these things and so many other questions will be answered on the next episode of Soap.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. You got a Soap reference in. Very nice.
Well, and I didn't bash the Jets again on the way out.
Here's a little bit of George Strait for you. Very nice. Conspiracy theory. Telling you. The cover.
Say it, but I'm here for a good time.
The cover for the Patriots tanking is signing Cam Newton. 877-99 on Fox, Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, more football on the way. One big-time team just got completely put in their place today. Wait to hear that story. Coming up next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
One of the top three country music songs of all time right here.
These nuts!
Oh, come on, don't ruin it. Oh, my exes live in Texas. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. And my goodness, if you like The Last Dance, we got a story coming up in 10 minutes that potentially changes one of the big storylines that The Last Dance brought us, Michael Jordan's final season in the NBA, and it has to do with the Michael Jordan flu game. Hold on to your hats, because the best part of it's going to be is I'm going to get to do my Chris Berman impression doing the story. So that's the best part of it. But, well, maybe the best part for me. But first, let's get to this. After yesterday's news that college football was going to see the Pac-12 postponed till the spring and the Big Ten postponed to the spring, some schools said, we're going to keep practicing. Michigan said, we're allowed to keep practicing. We're going to keep practicing. Nebraska head coach Scott Frost came out and said, we're looking for games. We want to go back
to the Big 12.
We want to go rogue and go play games. And today, Nebraska basically just put a foot on Scott Frost's throat and said, we're not doing that. Not if you're not doing this. Not if you want to be a member of the Big 12. The Big 12 has told Nebraska, you're not doing this. And certainly
we saw the Big Ten.
Big Ten told them not to, because the Big Ten did the same thing to Ohio State. Ohio State said, listen, we're not looking for other games. We can't play. We're going to play in the spring. So here was Scott Frost, who wanted to go rogue and look for games. And the Big Ten told them, yeah, you can do that someplace else, but you wouldn't be in the Big Ten anymore. And it brings up a point that's fascinating about all of this COVID-19 stuff, Mike. Just think about this for a second. Of all the coaches in all the sports who have weighed in on their sport and what is going to happen, NBA head coaches, NFL head coaches, NHL head coaches, MLS head coaches, every sport, it's only college football head coaches who sound so out of touch, selfish, and short-sighted. Why is it only the college football? Why is it only the college football head coaches who say, yeah, we're going to go rogue? Hey, so what happens if you get kicked out of the Big 12? What about all the other sports programs? What about your school that likes being part of the Big 10, rather? Because they were in the Big 8.
You want to go back to the Big 12.
What about all the other sports? You're going to get your program kicked out of the Big 10. You're okay with that? Because all you're thinking about is college football. Jim Harbaugh, we're doing everything we can COVID-19-wise. Well, you got to look outside. It's not just about your team. It's the teams you're playing against. Why is Lou Holtz comparing, you got to play college football because we knew we'd have casualties like we did in Normandy? Why is it only college football head coaches who sound this out of touch? No other sport has head coaches sound more ridiculous than college football does. That's a shocking thing.
That's why. The players come and go. You know a handful of names on the big stage, but otherwise it's this school and their head coach. So they're the personalities. So they stand in front, and it's my way or the highway kind of thing, going to Lawrence Tierney, going back to Reservoir Dogs. Boom! As you get another pop culture reference in. But they like their TV time. Why? Because they're always recruiting. Always be recruiting. Don't you want to come play for me? I'll put you in the best, most advantageous system to win. Look how hardcore I am. I can even knock down COVID. I got a drill that I can do that's tougher than Bull in the Ring that'll take COVID-19 down. Just come on board. Sign that paper, son. Come on board my program. Let's go.
I realize it tells you college and the desire to play and have money and move forward and not listen to anybody. It's really something when it's just college football head coaches that are saying things like this. No other sport. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. We have great college football news and a crazy story out of The Last Dance, Jordan, NBA, and the flu game coming up next. This is Fox.